From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Electricity prices in Maine will surge to the highest level in 3 years after state regulators selected new supply contracts for next year. Analysts say soaring costs are linked to the increasing price of natural gas, which is used to generate about half of New England's power. Peter McGuire has more.
New electric supply bids chosen by the Public Utilities Commission will hike the average residential bill by $132 a year for most Versant and Central Maine Power customers. And Versant customers in northern Maine will pay close to $200 more a year. PUC Commissioner Patrick Scully.
This is a competitive process, and it does reflect the current state of the market and the extent to which our markets are really a function or dependent upon the price of natural gas in New England.
Demand for gas is rising across the U.S. New England has limited pipeline capacity and relies on expensive liquefied natural gas to fire power plants in the winter. The PUC selects electricity suppliers to the biggest power utilities every year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Former gubernatorial candidate Elliot Cutler could be facing more jail time for allegedly violating terms of his probation. Cutler was convicted in May 2023 of possession of thousands of sexually explicit images of children. And as Kevin Miller reports, he's now accused of accessing sexually explicit content online.
As part of a plea agreement, Cutler was originally sentenced to 4 years in prison, with all but 9 months suspended. He was released 2 months early for good behavior and began serving 6 years of probation in 2024. Terms of his probation required him to only access the internet through phones or computers that were actively monitored. But as first reported by the Ellsworth American, Cutler's probation officer alleged in a complaint filed Monday that Cutler violated those terms by using an external USB drive to access information about massage parlors in San Francisco. He then allegedly filled out an online questionnaire about his sexual preference in escorts. According to the officer's affidavit, Cutler also violated his probation by turning in 2 cell phones last month that had not been monitored. Cutler's attorney, Walt McKee, said his client had not been arrested but declined further comment on Wednesday. Cutler could be ordered to serve all or part of what's left of his 4-year sentence if he's found to have violated his probation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine's labor force last year grew to 705,000 workers, exceeding pre-pandemic levels, according to the Maine Economic Growth Council. It's one indicator that Maine's economy is strong, according to the council's annual Measures of Growth report released today. Ryan McPherson, owner of Glidden Point Oyster Farm, credits an industry apprenticeship program for helping him grow his workforce to 35 employees during the summer and keep 15 of them on full-time year-round.
We've always had great apprentices that come with a passion for the industry, and it allows us to bring them in and teach them the skills and then retain them as a full-time employee after the program is over.
But the report also found that 64% of Maine households were unable to afford a median-priced home last year. A federal jury in Bangor yesterday convicted a father and son for their roles in an illicit $13 million marijuana distribution ring in western Maine. 45-year-old Lucas Searoy, the alleged ringleader of the operation, was found guilty on all counts, including conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, possession with intent to distribute controlled substances, bank fraud, conspiracy to defraud the United States, tax evasion, and 3 counts of maintaining drug-involved premises. His father, 71-year-old Robert Searoy, was also found guilty. The Searoys are among more than a dozen people, including local authorities, charged in the case, which was brought after the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency raided businesses connected to Lucas Searoy in Franklin County back in 2020. Volunteers in Brewer this week are assembling and distributing more than 1,600 Thanksgiving meal boxes for people across the state. Caitlin Badayan reports.
Behind that, this is the potato room where we have like I don't know, 10, 15,000 pounds of potatoes.
Jack McKay is the director of the group Food and Medicine, which organizes the annual Solidarity Harvest.
So there's onions and beets over there stored up. There's the stuffing up on the top shelf.
The Food and Medicine building is still packed with ingredients that will go into 1,675 boxes, each of which can feed 6 to 8 people. McKay says the program is merely a Band-Aid for food insecurity in Maine.
This year has been the most challenging since we began with the furloughed federal workers, the attack on SNAP. There's a layoff, a major layoff in Baileyville in Washington County with 160 workers currently laid off.
McKay says nearly 70 organizations are volunteering in the effort and will start driving the boxes across the state this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
In its first 2 months, Democrat Graham Platner's upstart bid to unseat Republican Senator Susan Collins had all the hallmarks of a juggernaut. Then came revelations of his old social media posts and a tattoo associated with Nazi iconography. It was enough to end most campaigns, but Platner continues to fill town hall events with enthusiastic supporters, showing resilience in the face of past struggles. Steve Missler has more.
Roughly half of the 200 people who showed up for Platner's town hall at the American Legion in Farmington on Saturday filed into a basement with no view of the candidate they came to see. So as Platner took the stage in the hometown of his Democratic rival, Governor Janet Mills, he paused for a mic check.
I think there are people downstairs who can hear me but can't see me, so... Well, we heard you.
The cheers traveled up the narrow stairwell into the main event room, an audible illustration of the curiosity, and in some cases devotion, the Platner campaign continues to elicit. The enthusiastic reception at more than 30 town hall events could be viewed as a measure of survival for the 41-year-old oyster farmer who, in his own words, has written some stupid things on the internet. There's also the now infamous tattoo he got when he was a 23-year-old machine gunner in the Marines that has since been removed. But the crowds haven't stopped coming. And Platner's message has been consistent, but for a recent change in how he shares his personal story.
Seeing this turnout up here makes me very happy for a myriad of reasons. It's Caribou. It's the home of our current senator. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot for turning out. This gives me a lot of hope.
At a town hall in Caribou last month, and before all the controversy, he gave his usual account of returning to Maine after 3 combat tours in Iraq with the Marines, a 4th in Afghanistan with the Army, in the abandoned pursuit of a college degree in between. And he described his VA benefits as a pathway to personal liberty.
That gave me an immense amount of freedom. That gave me an immense amount of material freedom to build a life that I wanted to build. I don't think that you should have to go fight in stupid foreign wars. Sorry. To get that kind of support.
In that moment, the crowd was left to themselves to interpret Platner's emotional pause. More recently, as in Farmington on Saturday, Platner has been much more open about his struggles after leaving the military.
After my combat deployments, I became deeply disillusioned with American foreign policy, with the wars I had taken part in. I was suffering from PTSD. I was not getting any help because I came out of the service at a time where you just didn't talk about it and you white-knuckled it through life. Doesn't work, it turns out.
To be clear, Platner has shared details with reporters about his post-combat experience in past interviews, as he did with Maine Public back in September.
I was also dealing with, we call it moral injury, a realization that much of what you took part in might have been bad, might have meant nothing. That's hard. That's something I'm going to struggle with for the rest of my life.
But Platner is now talking more openly about that struggle to explain a complicated social media history. And it appears to be resonating with many of those attending his town hall events. In Damariscotta a few weeks ago, Platner was confronted by an audience member about an old Reddit post in which he said he longed to have taken part in other military campaigns, in stark contrast to his anti-war stance now. He took a solid 5 minutes to respond, revealing vulnerabilities rarely acknowledged by politicians. The crowd of 700 people responded with warm applause. Susan Carr was among them.
I thought he spoke in a very honest and personal way that you don't hear a lot of people in public life speak about at all.
Chris Goster attended Plattner's town hall in Bath.
I appreciate the way he's dealt with the controversy that was thrown at him, and I'm really curious to see how he follows up on that. And I just, you know, for myself, I want to just demonstrate I still have his back.
Navy veteran Sarah Christmas, who was also at the Bath event, shrugged off the controversy over Plattner's now-covered tattoo.
I think he's handled it with much dignity and, you know, had it covered as soon as he realized. And, you know, what else can you do?
And in Farmington on Saturday, the mere mention of Plattner's tattoo controversy prompted this from Giselle Chouinard and her friend Rosemary Coro.
Oh, who cares? Who cares? That was done years ago. I mean, that's minor.
That doesn't bother me either. And one of the reasons is because Graham has come out and talked about it truthfully on what he was doing, how he was feeling, and how he feels now, and what he's doing now. Politicians don't usually do that. They don't. Yeah, they hide, and he's not hiding. So to me, that's a big deal.
Of course, there are plenty of Democrats in the state who have written off Plattner entirely. They're not likely to show up at his events, much less vote for him. But for many of those who do, Plattner's openness about his past has become yet another reason to support him. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, how to get a book published. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.